tomorrow at 10 and Thursday at 10. That's the hope of the schedule. I'll try to get as much as on time as I can be. Again, tomorrow we'll start with an introduction on Pidgin Aben. So let's look also at the Psukim and the Minyan HaMitzvos also. The Rambam in the Koteret, in Hilchos Bikurim, and let me see if I can get this. Okay, the Rambam in the Koteret in Hilchos Bikurim, and also the Rambam in the first halacha in Hilchos Bechoros. It's also interesting. Perek Aleph Hilchos Bechoros, I think halach Aleph and Beis. And I look at the Sefer HaChinuch, and I think it's Mitzvah Yud Ches and Shin Tzadi Beis. You can also look at the Smag if you want. It's not so necessary, just that it's interesting which pasuk that he quotes. But also just the various parshios. Pidgin Aben is a very confusing or challenging topic, because there really appear to be different themes, and the question of the interrelationship between them is not so clear. But the parshios are in Shemos, of course, in Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Gimel. And then you have again in Bamidbar, Perek Gimel, right at the beginning, Pasuk Beis, I think, and then you have later on, or Pasuk, Perek Gimel, Pasuk, is it Beis? Yud Beis, and then like Mem Beis through Mem Tes, those Psukim, in other words, in Bamidbar. And then also Bamidbar Yud Ches, Pasuk like Tezvav through Yud Zayin or so. Those are the main psukim to see, and just try to get an impression what the major theme is. So we'll start with the psukim, and then we'll do a little bit of the formulations, and then from there we'll just take a little survey of the Mishnahs and the Gemaras here in terms of some of the indications. Also look at the famous Ramah. I think we made allusion to it already in Shulchan Aruch about there being no shlichos for Pidgin Aben. And Rabbi Kiveger has a very famous comment on that in Shulchan Aruch, in the Hagos, Rabbi Kiveger in Shulchan Aruch. What is it? Shin Hei is the Simon in Shulchan Aruch. And the Gra is very important. The Gra has the other extreme. So look at that. And then in terms of substantive issues which are connected, so we want to speak about Shibudim, which is the Gemara here on Men. The three things that we want to speak about right off the bat is the Gemara here on Mem Chesam Aleph about Shibudim, the Meisav Ema Simulim the Meis Lachar Lamed Yom, Baham Rabbi Kachok Pturim Haishtablu La Nichsi. So the Gemara about Shibudim is here on Mem Chesam Aleph. It's very, very important. The Rambam's Psak is also important. The Rambam is an unusual Psak in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Bikurim. The Rambam's Psak is controversial. Also the Gemara about where the Gemara compares it to the Korban Ola of Yoledes, that's the Gemara here on Nun Aleph Amud Beis. Towards the last piece almost before that other mission that we did already before. Minolam Rav Shem Belokesh Asi Erech Erech Me'erchin Rav Dim Rav Yonasim Kol B'chor B'nacha Tifteh V'lo Yeru P'nai Reikam. That whole Gemara about what the Makar is and Rashi there. And the Gemara, parallel Gemara in Kedushin Daf Yud Gimel, about Shibudim. In general, when do mitzvos carry Shibudim? These are interesting Yerushalmi that people speak about in Chagiga. I think in Perek Aleph, Chagiga, and the Rambam's Psak in Hilchos Chagiga also. I'll give you more details maybe tomorrow. I don't think we'll get to this so tomorrow, either way. But so we'll speak a little about Shibudim, and then we want to speak about also the two topics that I mentioned before. The father's role, that's the Mishnah and the Gemara in Kedushin on Daf Chavtes, the Mitzvah Sa'ab al Ben. And connection with that, also the Gemara here on, again, I don't want to be very specific, I want to give it leeway. Mem Zayin Amud Beis, Kohen Shemes Viniach Ben Chalal, very interesting and important Gemara. The few lines here till the two dots that we didn't discuss yet, the din of Asina Mikoach Gavr Dulamatis Lishtawiye. I'm assuming everybody read this already. Dina Bahadei. What is that? Halacha, the Rush there, and the Rital Ghazi. But that's one Gemara. And then this Gemara about, this Gemara in the Psak of the Ram that I mentioned on Mem Chesam and Aleph, about what happens if the father dies within 30 days, is there Shibud Nechasim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a very unusual psak of the Rambam. Also look at the Chinuch, has a certain line about that. The question of Kedima in that context is also very important. If the father and the son each have, if the father has a chiv to be Poda himself and his son, you know, which comes, you know, which comes first? That's an important issue for this. So that's some of the father issues. And then the Shloshim Yom issue, again, which is also connected to these same Gemaras, to the Gemara here, especially on Mem, Ches, and Aleph. But in connection with that, also just look at the Rashi and Tosas in Bava Kamma. I think it's Yud Aleph, where the Gemara talks about Trefa, and the Gemara in Menachos, Staf Lamed Zayin, to connect that as well, the Din of Shloshim Yom. And of course, the Gemara's discussion about whether, if you know, if he's Padui, the Gemara Mem, Tesam, and Aleph, the Mishnah Mem, Tesam, and Aleph, but again, the Kedima issue is here. Who liftos of Bno liftos, who called him Libno, that I already mentioned. But this Shakla Vitaya, Hapodas Bno Batoch Lamed Yom, Ravamar Bno Podo, Shwilamar Enopod, that's for the Lamed Yom issue, that's very important. Mem Tesamid Aleph, that's the Mishnah and the, especially the Gemara here, going to Amid Beis. And that should be, you should look at the, till you know, and you should look at the Gemara there in Kedushin Daf Nun Tesam and Aleph, particularly the Rajab on the Ran. How does that work in Kedushin? Is it comparable to here? Okay, so those are the topics, those are the next few topics that we're going to be doing. That'll definitely carry us beyond Thursday, but probably to next, partially at least to next Monday, right? Next week is Monday and Wednesday. Okay. So let's get back now to what we're up to here. So first, just a quick comment about what we discussed last time. We discussed several topics last time. One of the things that we discussed was Haraso Shelo B'Kedusha V'Leidaso B'Kedusha. And we pointed out that Haraso Shelo B'Kedusha V'Leidaso B'Kedusha has a Chiyuv Pidgin Aben. That's the Mishnah here. But there is no Nachal, and we're going to discuss that further. We raised the question, if this pidgin aben, and not only that, but the Gemara in Yavamo says that in such a circumstance, if they are ta'omim, that they are midaraisa, they are considered to be krovim mina'im with regard to the isur eshes ach. And what we tried to figure out was how did that work with the Gemara in Yavamo, Stafayin Ches, the Hainu Revi say, the question whether the Gemara there really requires some sort of gerus. Or not. We suggested various different possibilities. Okay. I just wanted to point out that one of the issues that we discussed was whether ta'omim might be different. Now, there's really, it's a real gerus. However, since we're talking about ta'omim, twins, so they, the way I put it was, they cross the Rubicon from giyusam to gerusam together. And maybe that's why they can be krovim, even though it is really a geirus. Or is it, for all intents and purposes, either there's no din of geirus at all, and the Lav Hainu Revi say, I suggest another way to read the Gemara, is a way of explaining why it isn't geirus, but that it's ba mikdushas imam, etc. Or it really is a geirus, but it's a different kind of geirus, maybe le'inyan ishus, or as a chiyuv geirus, etc. So it's possible that one of the nafkamina will be whether or not these ta'omim, or let's say there's no ta'omim, simply, horasa shalom b'kdusha v'leidasa b'kdusha, will the child be related to future banim min ha'em? In other words, if it's a special halacha of the ta'omim and the fact that they cross into Kedushas Yisrael together, but indeed there's still gershon isgayer kakatan shenolad, then it's still possible that they'll be related to each other. It'll be ironic. They'll be related to each other, but they won't be related to subsequent children from the mother. So the majority of Rishonim seem to think that Harasa Shelo B'Kedusha Meleidasa B'Kedusha is related to all the Achim Min Ha'em. But actually, this position is found in the Shach. The Shach in Avinu Ezer says that, in his opinion, only the ta'omim are related to each other, But the ta'omim, or if there was one child, would not be related to the future achim min ha'e. So again, if the halacha had been that there really is no geirus, and they're simply, you know, children of the mother, or that there was geirus, but it didn't affect kurva, because it was a different kind of geirus, then of course, you know, the predominant Jew and the Rishonim would make the most sense. The shach, which everybody attacks, could be understood if we take something like what I was suggesting, which is that there is geirus and is geir, but this is, you know, like maybe the only other precedent being Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, this is a geirus, which by definition is one maisa geirus. It's, and as such, they cross together. But there still is a geirus, and therefore vis-a-vis people didn't have any geirus whatsoever, it would be gershon is geir, kakatan shenol adam. So the shach, I think, highlights that point. Related to this as well is the famous sheet of the Ramban. The Ramban in daf Memvav or Memzayin in Yevamos, and the Geirus Sugyas, discusses the problem that the Rishonim and Achronim dealt with, and that is a Zachar, who's a Ger, requires Mila and Tvila. Right? We know that. The normal order of things is Mila, Kodem, LeTvila. Let's say you switch the order and you do Tvila first and then Mila. Does it work or not? So that's the Machlokas of Rishonim, the Balitosis, the Ra'ah. A whole group of Rishonim think that the order has to be precise. First Mila, then Tvila. There could be all sorts of explanations why that's so, including the fact that the Tvila, you know, for an RL is insignificant. And that's it's not just that you require two factors for Geirus, the two factors are different in many ways. So the majority view of the Rishonim is that the Mila has to come Kodem L'Tvila. The Ramban disagrees. Ramban says that Tvila could take place before the Mila. And one of the rayas that the Ramban brings, this is very well known, one of the rayas that the Ramban brings is based on the Gemara Nivamos, the Fahim Ches. He says, after all, the Gemara there says that, that you know, Karasa Shalom Bikdusha V'Leidasa Bikdusha is considered to be a Yisrael, and the reason is because there's Tvila Agavimo based on Hainu Revise, same Gemara that we explained. And there, the situation is that the Tvila comes before the Mila. So we see that there could be Tvila Kodem Lemila. So that Ramban is based on at least two, and I think really three, assumptions. Number one, the Ramban is assuming that the Gemara in Yevamos there in Ayin Chet, that it really is Geirus. Right? If it wasn't Geirus, then you couldn't bring a Raya when you need Geirus, that Tvila, theoretically, B'dieved, could take place before Lemila. Obviously, if it's not a real Geirus, then there's no, if it's the Gemara's way of saying that you don't need Geirus, then there's no Raya at all. So that's assumption number one. The second assumption is that there is a requirement of Mila in this particular Geirus. This is an issue that we addressed. Simple pshat is that all you require is Tvila. There's nothing in that Gemara that says that you require a Mila Shel Geirus. You may require a Mila because you have a Ben Zachar and he needs a Bris Mila. Right? But a Bris Mila for purposes of the mitzvah of Mila and the requirement or being some sort of incomplete in terms of Geirus, those are two completely different ideas. And as we explained, it's not so difficult to explain why he wouldn't require Mila, even if it was a real Geirus, because the Ubar, as an Ubar, is not yet a Zachar, and doesn't require Mila. Only a, you know, a real Ger Zachar, who's a Zachar Nolad already, requires Mila. So the second assumption of the Ramban is that even though we're dealing with an Ubar Zachar, in theory, requires Mila. The third assumption of the Ramban is that this question of order is going to apply even in circumstances where it's impossible to, you know, b'shas ma'isa, to do the Mila. That's one could have said that where you have the possibility of doing Mila, lefnei tvila, Mila lefnei tvila is ma'akid. But here, you're dealing with an Ubar. If the Ubar is going to be misgayer, especially kodem, Leidasa Biknusha, it can only be Vitvila Kodem Mila. So this is the third assumption. Even if you require Mila, right, does this really prove in general, in a classical case, that Mila can come second to Tvila. Mila can never come. Again, there's no status of RL here, like I explained before. That's per se, it's an example where it's EFSHAR to do Mila prior. And not only is it EFSHAR, but again, if one of the reasons why Tvila, Kodum Lamila, is a problem is because Tvila doesn't apply to a Gavra RL, the Ubar is not a Gavra RL, obviously, no matter what you say. So that's a third assumption. There is, I think, a fourth assumption as well. And that is based on the following issue that arises. I should also mention that the Numuka Yosef quotes the Ra'ah, who rejects the Ramban, and rejects him for some of these reasons. He says, basically, there is no requirement of Mila at all here, and he's an Ubar, and therefore the only Mila that there would be the Bris Mila, and that has nothing to do with this circumstance. Okay, but I think there's another issue as well. The Karen Oral Atar in Yevamos asks the following question. He says, obviously the Ramban really thinks that this is Geirus. Otherwise it wouldn't be a Rai at all. But if it's Geirus, says the Karen Ora, so then we should have the following problem. How can there be a Psul Eishasach Min Ha'em? Namely the Gemara Daf Tzadiches, that the Ta'omim Min HaTorah are considered related through the mother. Gershon is Gaya Gakatan Shinola Dami. That's question number one. Question number two is our Mishnah in Bechoros, which says that Horaso Shelo Bikdusha, the child is conceived right before the Geirus, but Leidosa Bikdusha is Chayev Pidgin Aben. How can he be Chayev Pidgin Aben if this is Geirus? But again, the questions of the Karen Ora are not just exactly the questions that we asked last time. They're a little stronger even, right? Because as we pointed out last time, at least you could say that the Iser of Ach Min Ha'em and the Chiyuv of Pidgin Aben, all these at least to come about after Kedushas Yisrael is accomplished through the Tvila, right? But according to the Ramban, that's even a little worse, because according to the Ramban, even after the Leda, there's still a missing component to the Geirus. So the child is born, Leidaso Bikdusha, so it would appear, and there's a Chiyuv Pidgin Aben, right? And there's an Iser Eishes Ach, but there's no Bris Mila. And the Bris Mila, not the Bris Mila, there's no Milas Geirus. And the Milas Geirus is a component that is Ma'akev in Geirus. So the Karen Ora is asking the same questions that we raised last time, according to the reading of the Gemara in Yevamos, and we're talking about a Geirus, but they're stronger because we're dealing with a situation where the missing component exists even after the Leida. So how can there be a Pidgin Aben with a missing piece of Geirus? How can there be an Iser Eishasach with a missing piece of Geirus? That's the question that the Karen Ora asks. So the Rav discusses this question in the Igros HaGrid. He quotes this Ramban, he quotes in Muki Yosef, he quotes the Karen Ora. And he says, we see from here that according to the Ramban, this Geirus, or this Mila, is different a little bit than the Mila of a regular Geirus. And that in general, there are two dinim when it comes to the requirements of Geirus. One is their role as Hechsher Geirus, and the other is their role as a Chiyuv Geirus. Even if it's a Chiyuv, which is somewhat Ma'akev, Linyan, certain things, but it's not Ma'akev, the Hechsher Geirus. This would be similar to what we spoke about last time, except last time we talked about it as a in terms of being ma'akev in ishus of Klal Yisrael, right? Chitun. I mentioned this with regard to Eved Akrav Balatz Yisrael, according to Rashi in Antosis and Kiddushin, who requires some sort of a geirus, right? A chiyuv geirus, even though there is Kiddushas Yisrael, that maybe it's lacking in certain regards, or additional matir is required. So what he's saying is something similar here for the Ramban. In a way, it's a little bit of a bigger chiddush because we're talking about, you know, Mila and Tvila in a real Geirus that requires Mila and Tvila. Nonetheless, the Rav is suggesting is that even according to the Ramban, the Mila here is a Chiyuv Geirus, not part of Hechsher Geirus. And if that's the case, so the Inyan Pidgin Aben and even Yisur Eishas Ach, even without the Mila, there is no problem. Moshe Lamadav or Dome, to, there's a third component in Geirus, right? There's Mila, there's Tfila, and there's Hartzas Damim. sugya in the beginning of that parak, the second parak in Krisus. So everybody agrees that the Hartzaz Damim, without the Hartzaz Damim, there can still be Hechsher Geirus. Bizman Azeh, we have Geirim. L'doro Seichem, we know there can always be Geirus in Klal Yisrael, even though there isn't always the opportunity to bring a Karban. So we see that there can be a component of Geirus, which isn't Ma'achev, the Hechsher Geirus, although it's a Chiyuv. Now you might say it's only a Chiyuv as long as it's possible, and then it's not a perfect example, because here's a Chiyuv which is possible, and yet which isn't Ma'achev, the Hechsher. Okay, but the basic idea, that's one example. The other idea would be, the Rav quotes this as well, would be the day in the Gemara in Yevamos that says that while you should have Mila and Tvila if you're a Zachar, but it's not Ma'akev. So again, there's this idea of Chovas Geirus, which isn't Ma'akev in Hechsher Geirus. So he suggests when it comes to Pidgin Aben, when it comes to the Iser, Eishes, Ach, those depend on Hechsher Geirus, not on Chiyuv Geirus, and that would explain Shitas Ramban. I would only add, but if that's the case, then there is a fourth assumption in the Ramban, which should be noted. Again, the first was that this is Geirus. The second was that there is a Chiyuv Mila in the case of the Ubar. The third one was that you can compare a classic situation where you have the possibility and a Shem Arel in lack of Mila to a case where the Ubar certainly doesn't have either the possibility or a Shem Arel, and unless you're learning one from the other. And now the fourth would be that this question of order applies to the Chiyuv Geirus as much as it does to the Hechsher Geirus. Because if it's really true that all the Ramban is talking about is a Chiyuv Geirus and not a Hechsher Geirus, one could have said, good, whenever there's a requirement of Hechsher Geirus, then it has to be Mila Lifnei Tvila. Where there is already Hechsher Geirus and the Mila is just part of Chiyuv, so then you could treat it like the Karban. And you could say that the order doesn't matter either. But as long as there is actually the requirement of Mila as part of the Hechsher, so then maybe the order is very critical. Again, for the reason of Shem Arel or other things, even if it wasn't Shem Arel, just the order in Hechsher Mila is specific. It is compulsory. So I think this would be the fourth assumption if you interpret this way, and it seems like you are forced to say something like this, because otherwise what is Ramban going to do with the sugya on Tzadiches in Yevamos and with the Mishnah here in Bechoros regarding Pidgin Aben? Okay, so this is, I think, a very important issue. Finally, one other thing before we get to before we continue, that is, I think, the last thing we discussed was the question of Mishpacha Sa'im when there is no Mishpacha Sa'av, and discussed the Reb Chaim and the possibility of being Cholek. That was one point. And then the fact that the relationship between Kahuna and Leviya, and that in two senses. Number one, is a Levi, is every Kohen also a Levi, or is there just a Din Leviya in the Kahuna? Again, Reb Chaim's other Ha'ara, which again we suggested based on the evidence, that one could certainly argue with that point as well, and it would be important nafkamina. And then finally, I was suggesting that this halacha itself, why is it that Kohenes, shenivala yedei goy, tzpaka kuhunasa legamri, while Leviya shenivala yedei goy, is ocheles b'maisa or not? So the Gemara here says that the reason is because Kedushas Leviya, one second. Language of the Gemara is the Kedushas Leviya is Kaima, correct? Leviya Shenishbeis Hashenivala Beilaz Nus Nosin La Maisa Vocheles Ela Kohenes Kivin Dibol Havazara. The Gemara says that this is an example of Kedushasa Kaim. So I was suggesting that even though that's what the Gemara says, maybe there's another way to read the Gemara. And that is not so much that Kedushasa Kaima, but that Levi isn't the din in Kedusha, but Levi is the din in Rivui Mitzvos, Levi is the din in Minui, but there really isn't Kedusha in the same way that there is for Kohen. And that would explain, I explained this part, the Chavila and the fact that there are no ishus and other kind of limitations on a levi, and it also may affect the whole way that we look at zar. Maybe the interaction between different levim is zar, as an isuzarus, maybe even a chiv misa or malchus. You don't have that within the different functions of kohanim, because in kohuna it's about kedusha, kedusha sagavra. In levia it's more about the function itself. That was my suggestion. Oh, so I wanted to bring to your attention is the following. Did we bring the Rambam? Do we have his drawing?
Yeah,
bottom one?
Other side.
Okay. Yeah. So there is the following interesting Rambam that everybody discusses. The question is, what should one say about it? The Rambam Hilchos Maaser, Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis. The Mishnah Melech makes reference to it in already in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Bikurim. When the Mishnah Melech, when the Rambam quotes the Ar Halacha here, Yisrael Abam in Leviah Hamuberes Miakum Bna Potor. Kohenes Hamuberes Miakum Bna Chayev, Shrei Nifsala Ima Mna Kohuna, Bibila Sakum. This is the Rambam Perek Aleph, Halacha Yir Aleph, in Hilchos Bikurim. So the Mishnah Melech says, Ayin Le'el Perek Tes Dincha. Okay. You should always look up what the Mishnah Melech tells you to look up. So what's going on in Perek Tes Halacha Chav is the following halacha. This is with regard to matanos. Hakohenes ochelas ha-matanos afapit shehi nesua li-Yisrael v'nei she'en bahem kedusha. Okay. The Kohenes can eat matanos she'en bahem kedusha. Even though she's married to Yisrael, v'lo'od el habal ocha matanus begal ishto. She can even give her husband. Aval chalala in ocheles, she'in chalalim bechlal kohanim. If she's a chalala, she doesn't eat. V'imratz ha'koin limkar ha'matanos ha'litnon b'matana, afil la'akum ala'achilim l'klovim, machilim she'mem kedusha klal. Okay, so the Radvaz here asks a question. Aval chalala in ocheles, she'in chalalim bechlal kohanim. So the Radvaz says, why such a fuss about the chalala here? Even if you were talking about a kohen, it's a chiddush to say, right? It's obviously a bigger chiddush to say that the kohenes who's married to Yisrael can still eat matnos kahuna she'in ben kedusha and can even feed it to her husband. That's a bit of a chiddush, right? Based on the Gemaras, but that's a chiddush. Reishis hagez, let's say, things of that sort. Maybe it's Royal Lachaim Vakeva, which is the previous parak. This is what this parak, I think parak test is about that. Mitzvah Seliten Kozovech Behemah Tahora Lekoin, Zroa Lachaim Vakeva. That's in the parak. Okay. So it's a bit of a chiddush to say that. So the Radvaz says, well, if we know that the Kohen, whose rights to these matanos is more firmly established, if we know that he loses them when he's a cholol, because he becomes a czar, he's not a Kohen anymore, then certainly this should be true with regard to chalala, right? Whose hold on this is more tenuous, and giving it to her husband is even more tenuous than that. So that's what the Radvaz was, koshali, amay nokat chalala, halo afilu chalal zachar inoka. Yeshlo amar dachi kamar, aval chalala shenitzos li Yisrael ein amatanos, de ein bala ocha b'shvila. The song kadai dekamina, zachar bal b'makom ishto, har bal ein chalal. Wow. Kamashmal and Kivan Shahi and Azocha la Yazaka Habal Bimikoma, Sharimach Maso, who wrote to Zakos. So the Radvaz is bothered by this question. It's not the strongest question that we've ever encountered, but it's a good question. I mean, what's the point here? It's obvious. So he says the Chiddush is, you might have thought that the husband, nothing happened to him, right? So he could continue eating these matanos. Kamashmalan, he only eats because of her. If she can't eat, he can't eat. The question isn't the strongest question, but it's a good question. The answer is a bit of a pella, meaning well, somebody would really think that the husband of a kohenes could eat when she's a chalala and turns into a zara. That's already strange. I don't know if that's what the Mishnah Melech wanted, but that already bothers me. The Radvaz question is stronger than his answer. What the Mishnah Melech certainly wanted was the other Rambam. And that is Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, and he elaborates in Perek Aleph Halacha Beis in Hilchos Maaser on this point. What does the Rambam say in Perek Aleph Halacha Beis? Maaser Rishon Mutar La'achila LiYisrael. This is right beginning of Hilchos Maaser. So right in the beginning of Hilchos Maaser, the Rambam is
going to speak about the nature of Maisa. So the Rambam explains, Maisa Rishon Mutar Bachil Yisrael Mutar La'akla Betuma She'ein Bo Kedusha Klal. You can eat Maisa Rishon Betuma. You can give Maisa Rishon to anybody you want, because Maisa Rishon is Chal. V'komakam Shenemer B'Maisa is Kodesh O Pidia Ein Ela Maisa Sheni. Minayin Shemaisa Rishon Chulin Shenemer V'Nechshav Lachem Trumaschem Kedogam Nagaren Kimleim V'Nayekev Magaren V'Yekev Chulin L'Chal Davar Af Maisa Rishon. Then the Rambam says, listen to this. This is why the Mishnah Melech was interested. Lefikach bas levi shenishbeis o shenivala bilas nus nosel hamaiser velchelas. That's the halacha of our Gemara and Bechoros. And the makar is our Gemara and Bechoros. Namely, that if she is nivelas me'akum, nonetheless she can eat maisros. The problem is the lefikach. What does that have to do with Perek Aleph Hilchos Maaser Halacha Beis? The simple reading of our Gemara is that why does she continue to eat after she was nivala la'akum? Because kedushas levia afal pi shehi niveles kedushasa kaima. But the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says lefikach. Lefikach goes on what? Maaser Rishon is chulin. You can eat a betuma. And you can give it to whoever you want. If you're a Levi, you can give it to any Yisrael that you want. Lefikach, therefore, she eats it betum, she eats it achar shenivala. So that's what bothered the Mishnah Melech. Mishnah Melech says, what does this have to do with the Gemara and Bechoros? The Gemara and Bechoros is based on Kedushasa Kayemes. But it sounds like the Rambam holds that, according, there is a Mandamara who holds that Maiser is Kadosh. And that it's not Nechal Betuma. So this, our Gemara and Bechoros is not a Liba the Mandamar who says that Maisa Rishon is only Nechal B'Kedusha? That's what the Rambam says. In so many words, implicitly. So the Mishnah Melech says, I don't know where he got that from. Masper the Tamim Shuv Nelevia B'Kedusha Sakaima of a Kohenes Ap B'Davar Shichulin Gomor. That's the difference between Kohen and V'Kein Kasu Perak Tes Halacha Chaf. But Masha Kasu Rabbeinu, so he just doesn't understand it. Mikomokam Lishon Lefika Chena Noakli. What he should have said even more is, it's not just the lishna of lefikach, it's the clear implication, I mean, that's what he means, that according to the Mandamar, Maisa Rishon is Kodesh, that this isn't true. The Gemara and Bechoros never made that chilek. So what's going on here? So I think that one could suggest, I think this would reinforce what I was suggesting last time, which is that this halacha isn't just, there's Kedushas Kuna, there's Kedushas Levia, but Kedushas Levia, there's what, there's a Kasav or whatever, Kedushas Levia persists even Benivala may go. It's not affected by that, for whatever reason. Rather, what I was suggesting was, it's a bit of a misnomer. Namely, the real reason that it's unaffected is because Levia is a function, and it's not really a status. And as such, even if she is Nischala in some way, or would have been Nischala in some way, if you're looking at it in terms of Kedusha, Kedushasa Kayemes, meaning whatever it is, it's unaffected. It's unaffected because it's not really a din in Kedusha. So I think that's exactly what the Rambam says. That's how the Rambam read the Gemara. The Rambam says, Maisa Rishon is Chulin. Had it been Kodesh, then of course you wouldn't be able to eat L'achar Shenivala, because then we'd be saying that Levia itself is a din in Kedusha. And Levia didn't mean Kedusha, she would be Nischala. The fact that Maaser Rishon is Chal indicates not only something about Maaser Rishon, because remember, this Gemara applies also to the Indian Pidgin Aben. That's the other question. The Rambam says, Lefikach, number one, what's it got to do, and why does it depend whether Maaser Rishon is Chal or Kodesh? That's the Mishnah Melech's problem. But I would add a separate problem. That is, our Gemara is using this to contrast Kohenes and Levia. It's telling us that when it comes to Kohenes, Shenivala, she's a czar, and the child is obligated in a pinjin aben. That's not a bas Kohen anymore, bas Kohenes anymore. When it comes to a Levia, the child is still a bas Levia, and there's a pinjin aben. What does pinjin aben have to do with Maaser Rishon being Chulin or Kodesh? So I think what you have to say for the Rambam is, I mean, if you wanted to find the Levia, you know, what what is its status, and does it have kedusha? So what are the things you're going to look to? Again, it's not, you know, the only thing necessarily is what is its primary matana, Maaser Rishon. So Maaser Rishon being kodesh or chol has significance not only for Maaser Rishon, but for how we understand the relationship between Leviim and Matnos Leviim and Kahuna. So that's why it affects Pidyon HaBen, it affects the Gavra Leviya. That's my suggestion. I haven't seen it. If anybody can find it, I'll be happy. But I'm suggesting it. So if that's the case, then we can understand how the Rambam read the Gemara in Bechoros. But if that's the case, then I think we can also solve the Radvaz's question in Perek Tes Halacha Chaf. Again, one more time. There, the Radvaz was bothered. How come, in the context where we're talking about, you know, if you're married to a Kohenes, so even though she's married to Yisrael, she still can eat the matanos, and she can even share it with her husband. However, if she's a chalala, you should know that that's no longer true. Right? So the Radvaz says, yeah, obviously, even the Kohen, whose hold on matanos is stronger, even he loses it, so certainly she loses it. So I would say, no, that's exactly the opposite. The Rambam wanted to tell us the following. Don't think that just because she is able to eat these matanos, even though she's married to Yisrael, and not only that, she can share these matanos, she'ein bahem kedusha, mind you. Right? She can share these matanos, she'ein bahem kedusha, with her Yisrael husband, because ein bahem kedusha. So you might think that Kohenes, Eishes Yisrael, and Achilas Yisrael al Yada is comparable to Maaser Rishon. I mean, the Rambam's Lashitaso. It depends on whether or not this is Devar Chulin or Devar Kodesh. So one would have thought that even though the Kohen's hold on the Matanos is stronger, but still it's derivative of his being an Oved, the Mikdash, of his having the status of Kedushas Kahuna, and so on. So of course, when he's a Chalal, that's over. But the Kohenes, Shenisus LeYisrael, who's still feeding him, which shows that it isn't a din, if it was a din in Kedushas Kahuna, the actual Achilas Matanos, she certainly couldn't share it with her Yisrael husband. So one might think that this is like Leviya, it's like Maaser Rishon, not only in the status of the Cheftesh Matana, right, but even in, say, Kedushas Kohenes, is midin, you know, the Shame Kohen, not the Kedushas Kahuna. And therefore, ironically, because it isn't dependent upon the Kedusha, you could continue even Nivala al Yedei Goy, Kamash Malan, it's not so. The status of Kohenes is still a din of Kedusha. Again, one might have thought there are no restrictions on who a Kohenes can marry, right? Kohenes doesn't have an Iser of Tumas Mace. So one would have thought a Kohenes is like a Levi and a Leviya. Kamash Malan, it's not so. Kamash Malan, there still is an aspect of Kedushas Kahuna, which is at work here. Yeah.
So then, going back to the original, where it started, if the issue is a Kedusha, so how does she give that over to her husband?
She doesn't. No. What I'm suggesting is the Achilas Matana is still not a Davar Shebikdusha. But her status in being entitled to it is because of her Kedushas Kahuna. Just like one could have said about Maaser Rishon that that it's Chulin, but that doesn't mean that there's no Kedushas Leviya. And you need Kedushas Leviya to be right, to be entitled to this Dvar Chulin Matana, you still need Kedusha.
But then why is the husband able to eat it? He doesn't have the Kedusha.
That's just her entitlement. But since it is, that's the entitlement. But the actual davar itself, just like Maaser, that's what I'm saying, what one could have said about Maaser Rishon. Right? The only thing is, I think what Rambam's saying is, well, Maaser Rishon is what is the matana for a Levi. That's why it's different. Here, the main matanos are things she has Shem Kedusha. But what entitles her is her status as a Kohenes, which is a Kedusha definition. The actual matana itself is still Chol. For someone who has the Kedusha, to be entitled to it. And in this case, that means she can share it with her husband as well. But of course, the second that she loses her kiddusha, skuna, becomes a chalala, nivelas ideakum, so then that would affect her in a way that it doesn't affect a leviya. That's the suggestion. Yeah.
So back to our fundamental point here, which is that kiddushas leviya emerges from sheiros or ninoi,
right,
from independent status. So I think then we have a far more basic question about why leviya has any kiddusha at all.
Because she doesn't serve.
She doesn't.
Right. Again, so it's a mishpacha thing. I mean, it's what I'm saying is leviya isn't about kiddusha. It is about a minui, but there's still a din of mishpachas levi.
But there's more of a tension there.
And there's a yichus there as well. And that, you know, that's significant too. I mean, we see that again from the same sugya. We see that from the Petur Pidgin Aben. That's what we talked about, the other part of Reb Chaim. Whether that's a din of mishpacha or that's a din of kahal, but at minimum, there's a din of kahal levium that applies. Even though, you're right, even though the basic category is there for the purpose of Sherut, but and she doesn't really have that, but she's part of the Kahal Levium nonetheless, and that still gives her that shame levy, or shame levium. Okay. Okay. That's in terms of what we did last week. Now let's turn our attention to the two other outstanding issues, which are... which are related to each other, and we'll try to do this as quickly as we can. They're big topics, but I just want to make a few comments, really, about each one. The Mishnah on Mem Vav, again, tells us two things about Harasso Shalom B'Kedusha V'Leidasa B'Kedusha. Okay, one is that there is a Chiyah Pidgin Aben, that we've discussed, several aspects of it. The other is that there is no Bechor L'Nachla. The child, even though he has Leidasa B'Kedusha, is not a Bechor L'Nachala. Because the Reishis Ono, the relationship to the father, not to the mother, is Koveya regarding Bechor. And that relationship is one, by the way, before I forget, in the Marmakomas that I gave, I told you to look at the Psukim, look at the formulations in Minyan Mitzvos a little bit. Also, just one other thing to look at, the Tekes of Pidgin Aben, I made reference to it, I mean, my boy's Tvei, all of that. It appears in different places, but just look at it quickly. The Ramban has it here in Ochos Bechoros. The Rosh has some comments about it. The Chinuch has a version of it. And you can look also in Shulchan Aruch, where they discuss how it's not completely accurate. I want to speak about that a little bit also, just in connection with the broader themes of Pidgin Aben. So it's out of order, but just an additional Marambach. Okay. So the Mishnah says here that the father is koveya regarding Bechor L'Nachla, we know that, and therefore Harasa Shelo B'Kedusha is not a Bechor. That's the Mishnah. That's the Mishnah here. Here the Machlokas, here we find a Machlokas Rishonim, though why or what the explanation for that is. So we have Rashi, who says Nizgayru Muberes Bala Ima V'Yolda Hava Osa Vlad Bechor L'Kohen the Petarechum Ubi Yisrael Velo L'Nachla. The Harasa Shelo B'Kedusha, the Lav Bar Nachlahu, says Rashi, De, probably, I think that's the Girsa of the Shidim Kabetzas, De, Yud Gimel, De Zera Mitzri, no, I lost the place, De Zera Mitzri, Rachmana Afkare, De Chsiv, De Zirma Susim, Zirmasa. Okay. So Rashi explains that. A very problematic Rashi. Rashi says that the father, Zera Mitzri Rachmana Afkare, and therefore is La Bar Nachalahu. La Bar Nachalahu. This, of course, is problematic for two reasons. Number one, what do you mean La Bar Nachalahu? Gemara says in Kiddush Daf Yedzayin Amud Beis, that Goy is Yoresh Aviv Dvar Torah. So even if Zera Mitzri Afkare Rachmana, but because of Zirmas Susim Zirmasam, but we know that Linin Yerusha is a Bar Nachla. Of course, that's not completely Rashi's problem. The Gemara says this as well. This is the other Gemara that we want to look at in a minute. In the debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, here on Mem Zayin and Aleph, so the Gemara says that there's a double debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, one regarding Piri of Arivia, and the other regarding Bechor Lenachla. Right? Hoy Labanim Biyos on top of the page. Yitmar Hoy Labanim Biyosim over Kachom in his guy. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Lo Bechor Lenachla. Rish Lakash Amar Yesh Bechor Lenachla. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Bechor Lenachla, top of the page, four lines down. Tahavale Reishis Ono. Rabbi Yochanan says he's a Bechor, the child that's born after the Geirus will be the Bechor Lenachla, because that's Reishis Ono. Because they already it would not be the Bechor because he already has Reishis Ono, meaning Bigiyuso. And Reish Lakish says Yeshu Bechor Lenachla because Gershon is Gaiu Kekatan Shenola Dami. And the Gemara says V'azel Tamayu the Itmar Hoyu Labanim Biyosev Kachavim but is Gaiir Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kiyim Piri V'Rivya. And Reish Lakish says Lo Kiyim Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kiyim Lo Tov Bara L'Sheves Yitzara, which we'll get to in a minute. Reish Lakish says Lo Kiyim Piri V'Rivya. Gershon is Gaiar Kekatan Shendola Dami. So basically you have this machokas, which we'll get back to. And then the Gemara says, Utsricha, the Itmar Baha Kamaisa, Wifitama Nachla, Baha Kamare Shlakish that Gershon is Gaiar Kekatan Shendola when it comes to Nachla. Bishunda Biyosa, Vakachavim Lav Bnei Nachla Ninu. Hava Baha, Ema Modalel Rabbi Yochanan, Tlato Bra Lesheves Yitzar, Baha Lesheves, Bitmar Baha, Baha Kamare Biyochanan, Baha Ema Modalel Reish Lakish. Tzricha. Fine. So basically, the Gemara itself says that Ovikachavim are lav b'nei nachala. And the Rishon HaMala ask, Rashi, Tosas, Alatar, what do you mean lav b'nei nachala is an explicit Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Yud Zayin, that they are b'nei nachala. So we'll get back to that in just a minute. But Rashi here, on Mem Vav Omed Aleph, in the Mishnah, is making reference to that Gemara on Mem Zayin Omed Aleph already. When Rashi says, "V'lo l'nachla," the rasa shelo b'kedusha, "V'la barnachlahu," that's what he's referring to. The Gemara in Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, and then he adds, "V'zera mitzri rachmana afkare." Okay, so this is the issue, but it's partly the Gemara's problem. So Rashi has to relate to that. That's number one. The second point is that Rashi says, Zera Mitzri Rachman Afkare, that seems to be against several other Gemaras. Right, the Gemara says that in Yevamos, on this parallel Gemara to Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, do we have Yevamos? The bigger one here? Okay. Yeah, very good. Samach Beis Amud Aleph, Gemara seems to say that Rachmana Afkare Luzare is a din in Eved. Hakomodim Amarav Hakomodim be Eved Shein Lo Chayis. Dichsiv Shvulachem Po Machamar Im Adom Lachamar. But when it comes to a regular guy, right? The Gemara says, Eser Yochanan Leish Lakish. You Reish Lakish just said Gershon is Gair Kakatan Shinolad. After all, but the pasuk says, "Ba'esahi shalach baradach baladan ben baladan melech ba," etc. Meaning, there is yichus when it comes to non-Jews. We count the child after the father. So the Gemara says, "Amalei biyosan of the kachavim islehu chayitz, nizgayru leislehu chayitz." As long as there's bigiyusan, there's yichus. It's only la'achar geirus that there's no yichus. So the way Balei Tosfos understand this Gemara is that what the Gemara is saying is there's a difference between two dinim, bigiyusan, bigirusan, in the sense that gerushin is gayer is gekatan shenola. Once you have a geirus, so then you're no longer miyuchas al shem avicha a goy. But as long as you're a guy, or if you're looking at your past, even now if you're looking at your past, then we will say that Eved, Amarav, Akomod, Be'eved, She'em, Chayes, but a guy does have Chayes. That's a simple reading, that's how Balei Tosfos understand it. That's what Tosfos says here in Yevamos as well. Tosfos says, Akomod, Be'eved, She'em, Chayes, Im Nishtachre, Loki, Imperi, Verivya, and so on. Tosfos says in a number of places here that Eved ein lo chayis, but Goy yesh lo chayis. That's the view of Balei Tosfos. The truth is, in Yerushalmi, in Yevamos, it does seem to be an argument about this point, whether a regular Bigiyusan, a regular Goy, and it might be implied a little bit in the Bavli as well. The Bavli says, Hakol modim be'eved she'ein lo chayis. It sounds like when it comes to Bigiyusan, that there's a machlokas, whether yesh or ein lahem chayis. And the Yerushalmi has an explicit argument, whether Goy yesh lo chayis or not. But my point is that if you look at the evidence, at least the way the Balei Tosfos looked at the evidence, it seems that Goy yesh lo chayis and Eved ein lo chayis. Actually, in the piece in the Chibur of Reb Chaim before the one we discussed last time, which is Perek Tezvav Chasirabia, but in Perek Beis, I think Chasirabia, so Reb Chaim discusses a very famous Rambam. It's a very famous piece. The Rambam's view is that if you have an Eved, right, they have a Goy and he's an Eved, so normally there would be a Geirus attached to that Avdus, because the Geir. Because the Eved, rather, is Chai B'mitzvos, Ki'isha, Lola Mi'isha. So what happens is, there's a Geirus at the time of the Avdus. Then when there's a Shechrur, it seems like there's a requirement for a Tvila again after the Shechrur, so that the Eved Knani can be a Geir Gamur and marry a Bas Yisrael. So there are some Rishonim who think that the tevila that we talk about after the shichrur, that's only a din drabanan, and it's more for appearance and perception purposes than anything else. Not really a substantive act of geirus. The geirus is complete at the time of the avdus. The Rambam has a shita where he says that the second Tvila is a din daraisa. Rambam seems to hold second tvila is a din daraisa, and nonetheless, the Rambam seems to say that, based on the Gemara, that the second that you're meshachar an eved, the eved can marry a bas yisra. So how can it be that the eved, as soon as he gets shichur, can marry a bas yisra, if he requires another geirus, a tvila? Right, and here we can't say what we said at the other times, which was, well, he needs the tvila for purposes of matir for ishus, right? Because here we're talking about the matir of ishus. It's based on the Gemara Gittin. The Gemara says in Gittin that if a shtar shichrur, can be accomplished by writing to somebody, I hereby give you permission to marry a bas yisrael or something to that effect, because one implies the other. So it sounds like that's the end of the story. It's not mechusar maisa. If there's a get shichur, then he can marry. So that's a problem. So if you hold that the tvila shnia is only a dindra banan, it's some sort of takonis hagonim or something, which is with Nuka Yosef and some of the Balei Tosfos held, so it's no big deal, because the geirus was complete. But according to the Rambam, how can you have a cake and eat it too? You need a second geirus. The Rambam says you don't need Kabbalah Sal Mitzvos the second time because you had it the first time, but you do need a geirus shnia, another tvila. So if you need another tvila, how can you get married right away?
Can you apply the Rav on this?
What's that?
Can you apply the Rav on this before?
Well, that's what I was just saying now. You really can't because, I mean, that's a chi of geirus.
Right.
But, I mean, the second one, the one of
Mitzvah
Ramban. The one connected to the Ramban.
Right, the
Rav I guess so, in theory, but then it shouldn't affect other dinim either. It would be a chiyuv tvila, but it wouldn't be anything more than that. But Reb Chaim says something different. Reb Chaim thought that basically the way that it works is as follows. When an Eved Kanani becomes an Eved Kanani, so he picks up Mixas Kedushas Yisrael. By picking up Mixas Kedushas Yisrael, for that he requires a Geirus, and he requires a Kabbalah Sal Mitzvos, and then he becomes a Mixas Yisrael. But he only becomes a Mixas Yisrael because he only has the mitzvos of an Isha, Lala Mi'isha. Right? What about his Kedushas Yisrael with respect to everything else? Now, even though when it comes to an Isha, it's not a lack of Kedushas Yisrael. It's because, being a female, So she has a patur. Mitzvah says she has a man grum. But the point is that an eved isn't a female. So for him to have the mitzvahs of an isha, not an isha, this Reb Chaim doesn't say, this is my understanding and elaboration of it. For him to have the mitzvahs of an isha, not an isha, means only mitzvahs kedushas Yisrael. So the point is you need a separate gerus for the additional dinim that apply, for the additional chi of mitzvos and kedusha that was lacking, and that's a din in gerus. Fine. However, what about those dinim, which as lala miisha, which as a ger, he had kedushas Yisrael for. For those halakos, he wouldn't need gerus. Just like he could do mitzvos, he wouldn't need gerus when he leaves his status as eved either. But you definitely... Okay, so what am I getting to? Or what is Reb Chaim getting at? So now let's look at Ishas. So Reb Chaim basically says the following. When the Goy becomes an Ebed, and he picks up Bixas and Kedushas Yisrael like an Isha, so he has Kedushas Yisrael in an Ishas. Lala Misha. For that, he doesn't need an additional Tevila. He doesn't need more Geirus for that. The only problem is that the problem with an Ebed is twofold. Number one, he moves closer to Kedushas Yisrael. Fine. And that doesn't need reinforcement to the extent that he's come closer. But at the same time, his Dine Ebed are sometimes Dinim that obstruct either Kedushas or Dine Yisrael. Not because of his Goyus, but because of his Avdos. So by becoming an Eved, on the one hand he picks up Kedushas Yisrael, and on the other hand he picks up the negatives of being an Eved. So Reb Chaim says that's exactly what happens in Ishus. Because Eved ein lo chayus. A Goy has Yichus. Just an Eved doesn't have Yichus. Says Reb Chaim, how do I know that? Because the Gemara says in Kiddushin that Goy is Yoresh Aviv Dvar Torah. So obviously he has Yichus. Right? Moreover, the Gemara says here in Bechoros and in Yevamos and Samach Besam and Aleph, right, that maybe Piri Varivya, and maybe there's no din of Yoresh Sono. All these things happened Bizman Shehoya Goy. Right? But they count, because a Goy has Yichus. It's just an Eved she'ein lo chayus, like the Gemara says here in Yevamos, and like the Bali Tosa say. So the point is, Kedushas Yisrael le'inyan Yishus, the problem of los ischatein, that problem is gone when you have an Eved when the Goy becomes an Eved. He picks up Kedushas Yisrael, la, that's fine. The only problem is, he also picked up something negative. Namely, by being an Eved, ein lo chayis, and then it's shvulachem ima chamor, ima doma lechamor. That's what the Gemara says in Yevamos. Right, so he becomes, he has Kedushas Yisrael Ishus, but he has the negative of Eved, which is ein lo Ishus. So for that reason, the second that there's shichrur ha-Eved, he no longer has the ein lo chayis ima doma lechamor problem. His Kedushas Yisrael l'inyan Ishus from the previous Geirus is perfectly fine. He does need an additional tvila, but not for Ishus. He needs an additional tvila for Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama. And that's why the Rambam is fine and perfect.
How would this apply to a Shifra?
So you mean what his relationship would be to Shifra?
I
mean, why would he be able to marry a Shifra Knanis in the interim, or Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chor? So Reb Chaim deals with that. I don't want to go into it at the moment. Well, really, Tosus asks this question. Here in Yevamos, on Samach Besam and Aleph, Hakom Onim Evet Shein Lachayis, Vim Nishtachar Lokim Piri Vim Tomar, Aminan, Kabechetzi Evet Chetzi Ben Chor, Lisa Shivcha, and Yachal, Mashem Lima Yachal, Lisa Shivcha, Abasagi. And so that whole discussion, is he Mutter B'Shivcha? What does being Mutter B'Shivcha imply about there being Piri of Arivya? Tosus partially asks a question in Yevamos Samach Besam. It's a very good question. And Reb Chaim, in the continuation there, in Hilchos Isaribia, deals with it as well. Tries to deal with that problem as you raise it.
Superficially, one would think that she's in a stronger Jewish position than the Eved.
Why? I mean, the Shiv Kananis?
Because she has theoretically, all the mitzvahs that
Because she doesn't need the additional mitzvahs, she's just my grandma. But it would still be maybe for a different reason. Maybe she's no better than the Eved, and that her her patur of mitzvah is man grama isn't just because of femaleness and the obligations to a husband etc. But it is really a function of less kedushas Yisrael. So I hear what you're saying is clever, but I think in truth, I would say that she's not better structurally. What you're saying makes sense, but I think conceptually it's not true. Right, it's a non. So this, but the point of Reb Chaim is, the whole Reb Chaim is really based on the assumption, and it's a very good pshat in the Rambam, it's a very important yisod. But the whole idea is based really on this perspective, which is that goy yesh l'chiyus, that Yerusha reflects the rule. Evin ein lo yichus, but goy yesh lo yichus. That problem is not so obvious when it comes to this Rashi, though. And Tosas already points out that Rashi here is problematic. But look at Tosas. Tosas appears with Kuntris, Ubala, Ima Vyolda, Rashi quotes, Ubechinam Pirish Mitamze, the Balav Achila Barnakla, Shadigershin is Gayer, Kakatan Shinolad. Venachoshivavi, why not just say that there's no Bechor, not because Bigiyuso he wasn't his father, but because Bigeruso he's not his father anymore. He's not his son anymore. Right? That's Tosis's question. The Alpha Gav the Boda Mitzri Choshev Aviv Gav Nachla. Again, this is Tosla Shitasam. Tosis is playing up Nachla to prove there is Yichus. It's only evident in Lokiyas. We don't mean to Rakhmanavka Linan Ze Lazare. The Mitzri Yoresh Aviv Devar Torah. It's not because we really don't know that he's the father. Let's say you locked him, locked her in a room for 10 years with only one person, or it was ta'omim betim mitipa achas v'lo yedia. Tov b'shnei achim ta'omim betipa achas v'nechkul shtayim, and still ain't chayav nishumesh asach. Shemayim neafkuri afkur achmar. It's a din lizare de mitzri. It's not a safek. Undoubtedly, Rashi didn't think that Gemara was only a Dindar Rabbana. So basically, what emerges is an interesting double machlokas between Rashi and Tosas here. Rashi is using Rachmana Afkare Lazare Dimitsri, even not with an Eved. Tosas thinks that it's not true, based on Yerusha. And on the contrary, Tosas thinks that you can apply Gershon Zgar Kakatan Shinola dummy here. And Rashi, for some reason, either thinks that's superfluous or maybe thinks it's inaccurate. We'll have to explain why. Why didn't Rashi just say Gershon Zgar Kakatan Shinola dummy? Forget what they were, Begiyusam. The question is now looking back, not looking back. That's a double machlokas. Seems to be a double machlokas between Rashi and Tosas. Both about Gershon is Gayer. Sounds like Rashi thinks that if it wasn't for the fact that Afkar Achman Lazare, there wouldn't be an issue of Ger. Why wouldn't there also be Gershon is Gayer? That's Rashi and Tosis number one. Number two is here on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, when the Gemara says, Ein Bechor Lenach, Ein Akum, Ein Goy Lenachala. So Rashi here says, what does it mean? Where's the Rashi here? You're on Mem Zayin Omer Aleph. It's in the room. Which one is it? Dirmaska with? Top line? Oh yeah, the head sensor doesn't have a Dirmaska. Yeah. It's on the top line, but after the two dots, correct. Over the Kachov Menu Bnei Nachla, Lira Shesavir, Over Kachovim, Akarshin is Gairu, the Parakama de Kedushin. What's going on there? I mean, it's even more offensive. He quotes the Gemara in Kedushin. Right? So Tosa says, Pirush Kuntras, Perakam of Kedushin, Mashma Dehem B'nei Nachla.
Tamri kedushin over kachavim yorishes over dvar Torah. Elabni nachleninu de kamar hacha haynu Torah's bechora. So what's going on here? Now the truth is, for Madaik and Rashi here, and this is very, very important. Rashi here doesn't say afka rachman olazari. Rashi adds one word, which is very important. Eina b'nei nachla lirash esavim avik achavim acharshin is gairu. The word acharshin is gairu is of course crucial here. Tosas, and in light of acharshin is gairu, one could perhaps read that back in the Mishnah as well. And Rashi says, Zir mazusim zir masam, right? Ein la afker rachmana lezari de mitzri, right? Ein lo nachla, but clearly Rashi there in the Mishnah is referring to Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara. So you have to read Rashi and the Mishnah in light of Rashi and Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, where he adds the words la'achashin zgairu. La'achashin zgairu also appears in the Gemara Yevamos. The Gemara Nibama Samach Beis Amud Aleph says, one second. The line here somewhere. I'm sorry, this line appears here as well. Oh, here it is. Be'esahi shalach, etc. The ben, the yichos. Amalei ba'yosan over kochavim islu chayas. Nizgairu leislu chayas. So Tosas apparently interpreted that line as a reference to Gershon Nizgayer kekatan shenol adami. And that's explaining why right now, what took place before is irrelevant. The way Tosas will read this line in the Gemara and a group of Rishonim is, B'giyusan, 100% Yesh Av L'mitzri, put it that way. La'acharshin is Gayer, when you look backwards, the problem is always Gershin is Gayer, Kakatan Shinola Dami. Rashi apparently had a different learning, a different reading of the Gemara. According to Rashi, this line is connected with Hakol Modim Be'eved She'en Lo Chayes. Rashi's chiluk seems to be as follows. Rashi is saying you don't need Gershon Zgar Kakot and Shinol Adami. Maybe if you needed it, it wouldn't work. I'll explain it in a minute. This is the interface between the two topics. If you needed it, it might not work. Why don't you need it? Because the real point is, well, let's say it this way. I think there are two important distinctions to make. The Gemaras that seem to say that Yesh Av L'mitzri, or Yesh Yichus B'giyusan, are Gemaras that all refer to Bishas Giyusan Mamish, when there was no Geirus, internally in the world of the non-Jew. What's his relationship with his father? Not looking back after Geirus. Number one. Number two, it relates, it's a father-child relationship. It could be that even Bigiyusan, as opposed to from the perspective of Bigeirusan, all there is a father and the son. Through the father, it could be that there are no relationships to other family members. That's something that needs to be discussed. Right? What about Eishes Ach, those kind of things? B'giyusan, what is that based on? It's possible, at least the preponderance of evidence is, that in terms of Yichus, that's the Gemara here in Samach Beis Amud Aleph. In terms of Goy Yorish Esaviv Dvar Torah, the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara later on in Daf Tzadi Ches speaks about Shiva Amamim, right? How do you know somebody's from Shiva Amamim? And he can't be misgayer, and it's l'sachai kol neshama. Where does that yichus come from? The answer is, it's got to be from the father, right? So bigi yusan relating to the father
there's a din of Yesh Av LeMitzri. Bigiyusan, as it relates to other people through the father, that's already much more questionable. Perhaps not. Big Gerusan, Bigiyusan, looking back after Gerus to what took place, not in the present, not the present relationship, but after the Gerus, when you need to recall or invoke your past, there's already a subtle point. That's what Rashi says, Zirma Susim Zirmasam applies. That's our Rashi in the Mishnah Becharos. That's Rashi here on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. That's what it means. And that's why he quotes the Gemara in Kedushin. Because what does the Gemara say in Kedushin? That a ger is not Yoresh Aviv Hagoy Dvar Torah anymore. Right, one could have said, I mean, Bali Tosis agree with that too. That's because that's about a present relationship. He's no longer my father. Rashi understands the Gemara in Yevamos and the Gemara in Kedushin as not being based on Gershon as Gaya Kakatan Shinola Dami. And Rashi says it explicitly. Rashi in Yevamos on Tzadi Ches says, this has nothing to do with Gershon as Gaya Kakatan Shinola Dami. Because it's about the relationship to the father. The relationship to the father has nothing to do with Gershon as Gaya. It has to do with Afkara Rachmana Lazari de Mitzri, Ein Av Le Mitzri. That's what the Gemara says in Tzadi Ches. The Bali Tosis will say, whatever you have from the perspective of Gerus, looking back at Goyus, it's always Midin Gershon is Geyer. It's always really about the present connection to the past. But Rashi will say, even if it's about the present perspective on what happened in the past and what the relationship was in the past, even that we say, or only that we say, Ein Av Le Mitzri. And I think the point is as follows. Bigiyusan, from the perspective of a non-Jew in the non-Jewish framework, Yesh Av LeMitzri. It may not include a whole tangle of Mishpacha in terms of brothers and others. That remains to be seen. But it's possible to draw a distinction there. But the point is, that's the relationship. But once Gershon is Gar, even if you don't invoke Gershon is Gar, Kakotin Shinola Dami, it's just the Ger looking back at his past as a past, even then, in light of his gerus, the quality of the avos is ein ger, ein av lemitzri. I think that's a pshat in Rashi. And therefore, when it comes to the questions of all the Gemaras work out perfectly. Yeah, you had a question for
you. You're basically just saying that the quality of relationship between father and son of a Jew is stronger of a non-Jew, and therefore, when he is a Jew, he needs that higher quality relationship.
Well, I'm saying a little more than that. I'm saying that from the perspective of being a Jew now, even when he reassesses his past, as opposed to even the connection between the past and the future.
Because he needs to define father-son relationship as a Jewish father-son relationship.
Right. Or, exactly. And I think it's a Kiddush, but I think it's true. Now, the Rebbe Gershom goes even further. Rebbe Gershom, in the sugya here on Mem Zayin, I should also just mention one other thing. That is that in our sugya, Akum or Goy Ein Lo Chayis appears also in another Gemara, and that's the Gemara Mem Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara that we have yet to learn, but we just mentioned it. The Gemara here says, Asina Mikoach Gavad Lamatz Shtaruya Minei. Again, I don't want to go into the details now, but the Gemara says about a Kohen, a Cholol, a Kohen who has a Ben Cholol. You have a Kohen, he has a Ben Cholol. So the Gemara says that what happens if the Kohen dies within 30 days? So he didn't have a Chiyuv Pidyon. If he had a Chiyuv Pidyon a Ben, then the child doesn't have to bring the Pidyon a Ben. Right? We don't understand that exactly either. That's one of the things we have to try to explain. But if not, the Gemara is mistopic. Why? Because the child will say, Basi mikoach man delo mishtoi dina mina. Had my father been alive, he wouldn't have been able to get the money from him, because he's a Kohen. So you don't get it from me either, whatever that means. So the Gemara says, why don't you say the same thing? The Gemara says, but Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, this Gaira Muberes, b'chor l'kohen, amai lemele asina mikoach gavad l'matzos l'shtoi dina b'hadeh. How come this Gaira Muberes, right, is a Bechor LaKohen. There's a Pidyon HaBen. Why? Why not say, my father, the guy, You wouldn't have been able to force him to pay the money, so you can't pay me, force me either. So the Gemara says, "Shiny over kachavim delays lechayis." So this is a Gemara that's good for Rashi. So Rabbeinu Gershon, Rashi actually is a little bit. Rashi here says, "Aim leim da da sinem mikol gavi de lo tzayis dina leis lechayis legabe Yisrael leis leshum yachas ve'en zubam mikocho de kakotin shenoladami." Here actually says kakotin shenoladami. He doesn't like it so much. Or he had, or legabe Yisrael leis leshum yachas. Here's actually where Rashi pulls back a little bit. Rabbeinu Gershom, on the other hand, for him it's not a Lotzayas issue, it's more than that. Ein av lo v'kachavim. That's what he says. And if you look at Rabbeinu Gershom here on Mem Zayin Min Aleph, also, he says, b'giyusa lav b'nei nachlaninu de'ein av lo v'kachavim. Not ein av lo v'kachavim mishen is gai. It seems like Rabbeinu Gershom really holds that even b'giyusa mamish, Ein av la'ov le'kachavim. So the question is, what's going on? So the Yoni, who's not here at the moment, but pointed out to me that in the Shita Mekubet, in the notes, the Shita Mekubetzes in Bechoros, they link this. They point out there's another Rabbeinu Gershom in Erchen, and Daf Yudalei Amud Aleph. There, the Gemara says in Erchen that there's no an akum. The goy doesn't have achuza. So Moshe Shonim explained, what does it mean, Goy doesn't have Achuza? I mean, he doesn't have Nachla in Eretz Yisrael, in principle, so he doesn't have a Stei Achuza. That's a simple reading. Rabbeinu Gershom in that Gemara says, no, he doesn't have Achuza because Ein Yichus La'ov De Kachav. So the footnote person in the Shita Mekubetzes says, oh, this same difficult Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom seems to say, even b'giyuso, that ain av ba'ova kachav. But what does he do with Yerusha? So this is a question in general that Achronim asked. They thought they were asking it on Rashi too. Right. So they suggested a different point, and that is, maybe shiny Yerusha and the Yichus, I mean, the two biggest pieces of evidence that b'giyusam yesh av l'mitzri are Yerusha and Yichus. I mean, being one of the Shavamim, being Ben Ploni, etc. So what's going on? And what does he mean here? In the Sugya, we're saying, the Sugya says that Goy doesn't have Nachla. What's going on? So it could be, that's what I told you, look at the Ramban, I think he also quotes it there. I saw afterwards, the Ramban in Tzadiches and Yevamos is also bothered by this. So some of the Gemara say that Goy ain't lo yichus, so how come he's Yoresh Aviv Dvar Torah? So there are a few lines in there. The Ramban says, only Hecha Demarba, when the Torah explicitly tells you that there's a relationship between the father and the son, then and only then does it exist. But anything else, and Yerusha is an exception. That's basically what he said. Yerusha and probably yichus are exceptions. I mean, yichus of Kahal or whatever, and the rule is Ein Av L'mitzri. But I think that the Pshat could be as follows. I think other people say this as well. There's the debate among the Rishonim, when we say Ein, when we say Yesh Yerusha LeGoy Dvar Torah, does it refer only to the father or the other Yorshim? What about a brother? What about a mother? I mentioned this before. So the Rambam seems to say only father. The Meiri in Kedushin says other relatives as well. It's very fascinating. The Meiri is a bit of a chiddush because it means that that Yesh Av L'mitzri or Yesh Zera L'goy is not just about the father and the son. It even includes connection to other relatives. As I said, it's not such a davar pasha. There's a big discussion in Achronim about things like is there such a, in the Arayuses, how we understand Eshes Ach and things of that sort in the context of Benoach. And whether there's a special ribuyim, and they have to do with, practical relationships, or there really is a Deneichos. That's part of this discussion. But the point may be as follows. It could be that Yerusha, and even Yichos of Banim, is a special halacha of a kind of a Ben Karadavua type thing. It isn't so much mishpacha through the father, or even yichus, as much it is, you know, in this respect, he's the father's clone, or he's the you know, the closest person to him. It could be that's what the Ramban has in mind. Or another way to say it, in terms of the yichus part is, in terms of what we spoke about last week, maybe there's no din of mishpacha legoi, but there's a din of kahal. He's shayach to a nation. Right? In that sense, in that, you know, much, much broader sense, there was an interconnection. So the point is that according to Rabbeinu Gershom, one might say that the Rabbeinu Gershom has a much stronger view of, and when we say Eved Ein Lo Chayas, what we're saying is that Eved doesn't have even that. That Eved doesn't even have Yoresh Aviv Dvar Torah. Or Eved is not even considered, you know, part, or in the future, the child of the Eved isn't even considered part of the of that tzibor, that kahal. That would be an important issue. So according to Ben Gershom seems to be the extreme shita on Ein Av Lagoi. And the exceptions would all be either Gzeres HaKasuvs or based on this idea of kind of either Kar Davua or kahal in a general sense. Again, Bashal Mad Overdom with Minchas Chinuch has a safek. When we say Eved Ein Lachayas, he says, what does that mean? Does that mean really it's like he's not related to the person, he's not his child at all? Or it means just like we say about a mother, that, you know, Mishpachas Ein Lo Kriya Mishpacha, everybody agrees it's the child of the mother. It's a formal halacha, Ein Lo Mishpacha. So too, Eved Ein Lachayas. If we could say that by Eved Ein Lachayas, that's a safek in the Minchas Chinuch, then certainly one could suggest something similar for Rabbeinu Gershom. In other words, what we're saying is that the formalities of father don't exist, but the practicalities, you know, the cloning part, you know, well, if it's not his, if he's not there, then it's my property. I'm the next closest person to him. I might not be officially, you know, his son, for dinim to have to do with Izer Kibudav, for you know, in a Hakar Satov sense, for that's also a big discussion. Benoach, is there Hakka or Kilas Aviv? Do those dinim depend on being a clone? And I'm the produce of that father. Question is, for dinim to have to do more formally with being his son.
Okay. Wouldn't the Sheva Mitzvot and Elah imply Chayas?
Why?
Arayas.
So that's what I said before. We have to figure that out. That might be a special Gzeres HaKasuv. That's what I was saying before. Exactly. That's what the Ramban speaks about also in that piece on Daf Tzadi Ches, that Nachla and Arayos, those dine arise. But again, it could be because of the built-in relationships, not so much the formality of the relationships. But that's what the Ramban discusses on Tzarichas. Okay, so basically we have Rabbeinu Gershom, that's one extreme perspective. We have Rashi in the middle, which I think is not Gershom is Gayer, except maybe this last one, Mem Zayin and Beis, but based on the perspective of Yerusha. And then we have Balei Tosfos who think that, and Reb Chaim, which is that Eved Ein Lo Chayas, but Goy Yesh Lo Chayas. And the only question is there an extended idea of family even? But certainly father and son certainly exists. Now, what does it mean, Ein Nachla Lagoi? So here we have an interesting machlokas of Rishonim. Again, so according to Rashi, it's based on Zera Ha'av, Le'inyan Lachar Geirus. The difficulty with Rashi on a Parshanut level is, well, when the Gemara is trying to explain the Gemara saying Gershon is Gaya Kakotan Shinola Dami might be different between Nachla and Piri of Arivia. Why? Because in Nachla, Ein Lo Nachla, and Rashi saying Ein Lo Nachla means Begeros. Right? But then it seems like it's counterintuitive. I mean, it seems like it's catch 22. The whole point is that Gershon's Gaya is the same, but it depends on what the status was Begiyusom. Why is Rashi bringing in Begerusom if we're really talking at this point about the Chiyuv Begiyusam? That's why Tosfos doesn't like Rashi. The men are not like it for the other reason also, that they think it doesn't exist. Namely, it doesn't exist, this concept doesn't exist, even Lacha Gerusa. Tosfos says, no, we're talking about Begiyusam, it's because Ein Bechor. Now Tosfos has a definite benefit here. That's after all, the Sugya is talking about Bechor. So if Ein Bechor, Legoi, then that would explain this sugya very well, except the only problem, the parshanut problem with Tosfos is, the Gemara doesn't say in Bechor, the Gemara says in Nachla. Oh. So Rashi and Yevamos and Samach Beis and Aleph puts them together. Rashi says Ein Bechor. There's no chiluk between Pashut and Bechor. There's no chiluk between Bein and Bas. That's what it means when we say there's no Nachla. It sounds like what Rashi's saying is, the real issue here is that Aviv ben Yoresh Aviv Dvar Torah. But is that Nachla? In other words, what the real question, I think this is perfect for Rashi in general, the real question is, when we have what seems to be parallel within the framework of Judaism and outside, how misleading is that? But you have the same halacha, ben Yoresh Aviv Dvar Torah, and you have Nachlas Yisrael. So the in and the overlap, are they the same? Or does the fact that there are other differences reflect that even where they're the same, it's totally different? In one case, it's about money, and it's about being the closest person to this individual, his replacement. In the other case, it's about a marechet yachasim, it's about a whole family structure. Right? The fact that there's a difference between a bechor and a pashut, and a bein and a bas, that's the nachla, getting back to our first shir, the chukas mishpat of nachla. The lo yuchal avaker and the yakir part of nachla. The idea that this is all part of family structure, that doesn't exist in non-Jerusalem. The Gemara says, ein nachla, right? It's not only about bechor, it's not only about, the real point is, what are we saying? Gershon is Gayer Kakatan Shinolad. It does or doesn't apply. Right? The answer is, well, it depends how you look at the Bigi Yuso too. It may look the same, but it's misleading. Okay. So to sum up so far, we have to finish up in a couple of minutes, so let me get to Gershon is Gayer. Basically, what we've said so far is that there are different perspectives on Yesh or Ein Abla Mitzri, or Afke Rachman Lazare. Number one, there's a difference between other relatives through the father and the relationship of father and son. That's A. B, there might be a difference between father and son, relationships that are more formal and part of, family, as opposed to ones that are more like Hakaras Hatov, or practically he's the one who gave birth to me, and so on. There could be that distinction. Then you have to figure out which dinim depend on, what about Kibbut Aveh, what about Klala, what about Makkah, what about Yerusha, etc. Thirdly, there is that's especially important for Bnei Gershon. Thirdly, there is the perspective of Av L'Goy after one is already Mizgayer, even if that is separate from Gershon, Mizgayer, Kakatan, Shinod, even looking back in the past, maybe that idea, by the way, just is reinforced by what we just said, which is, even where there seem to be similar dinim, they're not really similar. Right? And therefore, Mishan is Gayer, even looking back, Ein Av L'Goy. That would be an important perspective. And then there's the Bali Tosis view, which is Yesh Av L'Goy, Kolzman Shu B'Giyuso. So the only thing is that Gershon is Gayer Kakotin Shinola Dami, and Shiny Eved, Ein Lo Chayas. Okay, so this would affect many, many issues and many dinim. Now let's move on to Gershon is Gayer Kakotin Shinola Dami. So here too, we encounter all sorts of interesting challenges. Challenges are as follows. Everybody seems to agree with Gershon is Gayer Kakatan Shinolad in some contexts. For example, the Gemara in Yevamos staff Chav Beis Amud Aleph. Achim min ha'em mi'idim. Right? Once is Gerus, even though these are brothers from the father. Right? Let's say Horasam Shalom Bikdusha Vileidasam Bikdusha. I'm sorry. Horasam Vileidasam Shalom Bikdusha, but from the same mother and father. The halacha is that they're made one to the other. There's no psul. They're not related. Gershon is Gayer Kakatan Shenola Dami. So basically what that means, at minimum, is that other relationships, rooted in Zman Hagiyus, don't apply La'acha Geirus. Don't apply to the present. However, the question is, does that prove anything about looking in the mirror? even looking at your past and the present. That's my connection to other people. Gershon is Gaya Kakatan Shinal Adami. That's cut off at the moment of Gerus. Any connections that were based on a link beforehand, that's cut off. That's what the Gemara says clearly on Chabes Amidav, no one argues it. But what about my own past? Right? Not relating to other people. Do we still say Gershon is Gaya Kakatan Shinal Adami? In general, I think one could identify several extremes. It could be that you have like a strict constructionist view. Gershon is Garka Katan Shinal Adami. This person is a new individual. It's like he Kishmo Kenu. It's like a newborn babe. And he has no connection with himself in the past either, if you take it in a, you know, in strictly literal meaning. That's one extreme. Then you would have to explain any kind of impact whatsoever would be problematic. Okay. The other extreme is the one we just said. We don't take it literally at all. Everybody has a past, even cross the Rubicon of Geirus, Gershon is Gaya Kakatan Shinala. All we're saying is that Yichus to other people, Kurva to other people, that is stopped through Geirus. And even that, as we explained, there could be an exception to that too. Klal Yisrael b'shas matan Torah, ta'omim b'mei iman, if that's really a geirus. Lu yitzuyar, you could cross together. Or no, maybe that wouldn't work either, and you have to find other explanations for those ideas. It isn't really a geirus, etc. It was a geirus of kviya, whatever. Different kind of geirus. At least linyan yuchsin. These are the two extremes. In between, we could suggest, I think, other distinctions. Let me mention them quickly. One is, broadly speaking, whether we're talking about legal or physical issues or actions. Physical actions, there's some continuity. Right? My DNA didn't change from my previous state. My halachic DNA changed, but not my physical DNA. So you might say, if you're, I guess, a true ish halacha, you might say there's no such thing, you know, as physical DNA separate from one's halachic DNA, except that when halacha itself allows for it. If halacha itself, you know, endorses the idea of a physical DNA separate from halachic DNA and certain halachos, then you know, it's not a challenge to the concept. So the point is, any physical consequences of my actions, issues that are halachically significant, we will not say Gershon is Gaya Kakatan Shinala. We'll only say it about my legal and formal status. Another way to say this, I'm not sure if it's exactly the same distinction. So you might hear now again, what dictates physical as opposed to halachic actions, or physical, that I think is still an open question. Does it depend on whether it's a physical act or requires das? That might be a symptom of it. Whether it's more the action or the consequence. Parallel, but maybe over. I'm not sure if it's overlapping or parallel. Where we're dealing with a gavra, the person is a gavra, or the person is a chafza. In a way. That's where he's an actor who changes and takes initiative and creates kaloses, where he's a gavra, Gershon is Gaya Kakatan Shinala. Where he's passive, he's more physical object, as a chefza, maybe we don't say Gershon is Gaya Kakatan Shinala. We'll explain the examples in just a minute. Let's try to finish it up quickly. That's another distinction. In light of what we said about Yesh Av L'Mitzri, another fruitful area, I think, is to distinguish between past and present. But again, that's a little more complicated. Issues of present, Gershon is Gaya Kakatan Shinala. Issues of the past, right? The past was. The question is where the past is significant in the present, where I care not about only now, but about what was in my past. Am I cut off from my own past or not? But where it's pure history, why should you say Gershon is Gaya Kakatan Shinala? Where the past as past impacts on my present, but it's not a question of the past continuing in the present, that's a distinction which we might make. I'll explain again, I'm just being theoretical for a moment. We'll see some of the examples in a minute. Gershon is Gaya Kakatan Shinala or not? And I think closely connected to this, obviously, is the question of period of Arivia and Bechor. But let me just mention Tosas's perspective. Tosas Yavamas explains, what do you mean period of Arivia in the past? Right? You're Makai in the midst of period of Arivia, big Gayusa. There's no Chi of period of Arivia. So Tosas says, well, if he had children as a guy, it's enough to say that even if there isn't period of Arivia, it means that there's no Chi of period of Arivia in the future. It's an interesting line. That's Tosas and Yavamos. Again, Samach Beis, Amar Abnei Peri V'Rivim Tomar, Perek Dalad Misos, Mashmud Abnei Noachal Mifkudu Peri V'Rivim. Yishom Noachal Abnei Chiv Aperi V'Rivim Kamar, Elekomer Shud Bneiyan Nikroim Al Shemam. And then earlier he says, Mikomako B'Stabel El Abiyochen Noachal, the Avagad V'Nin Kama Dvar Marmin and Gershin Zgar Kokotin Shanola, how can Rabbi Yochanan argue? Mikomako B'Stabel El Abiyochen Noachal, Kivin the Bechuyusam Kiyim, I think what he means is, if we needed that mitzvah of the past, it wouldn't work. But if the past dictates that there's no chiyuv mikano lahaba, then that's going to work. That's not going to be a problem of gershon zgar kakot and shenolat. Tosas here in Bechoros actually seems to make the distinction between the chiyuv and the kiyuv. Habil Sheves, Tosa says here in Bechoros, Balab Nechi of Ninu, Kamar, Muchach the Lab, Mifkada Piri Varivia, El Klomer, Zar, Misakas Akrab, Hainu Avidle Sheves. Point is, these are some of the distinctions that can be made. The past and the present, the past leaning in the past and its impact on the present, the chiluk between something that you're not Yotze now because of what you did before, but because what you did before, you're not Mechuyev now. Or, and I think this is the most fruitful of the three, this is the third one, where you're operating as a Jew and where you're operating as a human being in a more universalist way, except that too is tricky. Where you're operating in a universalist, Ben Noach, Enosh kind of a way, there's no reason to say Gershon is God caught in Shinola because you don't have the clash to begin with. It's not that you're a newborn babe and you don't have a past. It's that as a Jew, your non-Jewish past doesn't exist, or, as it depends on the formulations from before, is irrelevant, is legally irrelevant. Those are two perspectives too. But what we're saying now is, as a Jew, that's true. In matters that affect, you know, or contrast, or your Judaism. But what about the, you know, pure human being, you know, Yelud Isha Ben Noach, what about that? There, maybe you wouldn't say Gershon is Gaya Kakot and Shinola. Of course, it's tricky. So one would think it depends on the standards. But if the standards haven't changed between being a Ben Noach and being Israel, then you would say in this continuity. That's the human being side. That's not the Jewish side. But it's not always so, I think that's the first place to look. But just a note of caution, sometimes the standards may seem the same, but given the wider context and other chiyuvim, they're not the same. For example, we just said, Ben Yoresh Aviv Dvar Torah. But because there's a difference in Bechor and Pashut and Ben and Bas, even if we're talking about a Pashut, maybe it's different. You can't take things always so narrowly. Now, it also could be true in the other direction. Sometimes the Dine Yisrael are different than the Dine Ben Noach, especially in terms of Ishtani Katala, what Misa you get, maybe even in terms of Hasra and Eidos and other Pratim. But they don't have to do so much with the particular Chiyuv. They have to do with, well, this Chiyuv as applied to Yisrael. So there, in other words, what I'm saying is there may be parallels without obvious Shinuyim in which it's still day and night, there's still a Jewish component, and there may be differences, but it's not because of Jewish, it's Jewish, but the peripheral Jewish, whereas the core is still a Benoah Halach. And then you'll say, Gershon is Gaia Kakot and Shino. I really am going over time. Let me just give a couple examples very quickly to explain what I mean. Number one, let's look at this. Rashi and Tosas and Bechoros, before. I thought it was interesting, I said in the Mishnah, the Rashi and Tosas seem to argue about two things. Number one, they argue about whether Goy has Zera as opposed to an Eved, maybe only with regard to L'inyan L'achar Gerus or the other Rashi, etc. But that's what we discussed. That's one issue. Right? Tos says only an Eved doesn't have, and Rashi says. Then Tos says, and what do you need it for anyway? We're not just saying Gershon is Gair Kachotin Shinolad. Why didn't Rashi want to say Gershon is Gair Kachotin Shinolad? So I think that the answer is, and I think Revelville says this also in the stencils, something like this. This sounds like a little more complicated the way he's saying it, but I think is what he's saying. I think that the two are connected to each other. I think what Rashi's saying is, Ein Av Lemitzri. And therefore, the child, Harasa Shlo Bekdusha V'Leidosa Bekdusha, is not a Bechor. Because had there been Av Lemitzri in the same way that there's Av Yisrael, right? Then it wouldn't have been a chisaron of Gershon is Gair Kakotin Shinola Dami either. Because we would have said that the whole idea of first of racist Ono is a universal idea. So Rashi's saying, you don't have to say this, but I think it's what Rashi's saying. Because Ein Av, and for the very same reason that I'm applying Ein Av Lemitzri from the perspective of L'Achar Geruso here, for that very reason, if you want, you can also now say, but it's superfluous, and you don't need it. It's superfluous. Gershon is Gair Kakotin Shinola. But had it not been, if you'd held like the Bali Tosis, that only Avidei Lo Chayis, but L'inyan Davar Zeh Yesh Av Lemitzri, then maybe we wouldn't apply Gershon is Gair Kakotin Shinola Dami. Because it would be universalist. I'll give another example. Rabbeinu Tam. I told you, look at Tosin Ksuvis Av Gimel. There Tosis says that Bias Akum is Kibias Behema. Right? Let's talk about the Sugi of Lidr Shluhu Da'onas Shari, the Gemara there in Ksuva, says, you know, why don't you tell the people that, Arayos with the non-Jews, Yahari Vayavar, that whole Sugi. I don't want to go into detail, I don't know if we have the Ksuvas here or not, but basically, Rabbeinu Tam says, Bias Akum is Kibias Behema, and therefore, says Rabbeinu Tam, if the Boel, the non-Jewish Boel, converts, since when he was involved with the woman, it was kibias vehema, the halacha will be that the iser of lebal or leboel won't apply. After he is misgayer and she's divorced, she could marry. That's Rabbeinu Tam. And all the Rishonim, Bali Tosis, are very against that. They try to prove from different gemaras, it's absolutely impossible to say that. But if you look at the rayas that they bring, and one day the Ri and Shidu Lubetzis points this out, if you look at the rayas that they bring, almost all the rayas are that if a non-Jew is involved with an Eishes Ish, she's Asur Labala. There's almost no rayas to prove that if the guy was Mizgayer, that there would be an Isur Laboel. And one version of Rabbeinu Tam, and Shidu Kubetza says, yeah, that's all Rabbeinu Tam said. Rabbeinu Tam didn't mean there's no Isur Labala. What he meant was, there's no Isur Laboel, L'Achar Geirus. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two is, if you look at the Ritva on the spot, the Ritva says, I don't need, what do we need Rabbeinu Tam? Why not just say, she can marry the Boel after his Geirus, because Gershon is Gair Kakotin Shinola Dami. So what's the problem? What do you need Rabbeinu Tam for? Oh. So I'd like to say the following. Number one, what's the difference between the Baal and the Boel? Based on the evidence in that day in Shidmu Kubatzes. I think it's very simple. When it comes to the Baal, we don't really care who she was mizana with. We care that she was mizana with somebody other than her husband. What's important was not who he was, but who he wasn't. And as far, is it an act of betrayal? Right? I'm saying, even aside from the issue in general, whether the Issa Labal is based on betrayal, but basically it's who he wasn't, not who he was. As far as that's concerned, we don't say Bias Akum could be Bias Behema. She was involved with another man. Another man he is. The Issa Laboel, right, depends not just the fact that he was Oser Labal, but who he is. That's an Issa to him. There his identity becomes important. So Rabbeinu Tam says, Bias Akum, not Eved. Again, it goes back to the Chiyus, Skyus issue. Not Eved. When it comes to being a Boel, he doesn't count. When it comes to being a Baal, he counts. That's number one. So then, what about the Ritva's objection? Well, if you're worried about the Boalach or Geirus, Gershin is Garak Kotin Shinola Dami. So what I would say is as follows. If the Rabbeinu Tam would say, if it wasn't true that Bias Akum could be a Behema, right, and we did give stature to the Boel, so we would say, you know what? What? Gershin is Garak Kotin Shinola Dami. Or he's a newborn babe in every respect. He looks in the mirror, he doesn't see any past. He was just really reborn. Now, that's not what it means. What it means is, le'inyan, his non-Jewish past, matters that affect his non-Jewish past, his Jewishness and non-Jewishness, Gershin is Gaya Kakotan Shinolad. But if we were to say that B.S. Akum could be as Behema and he's a Boel, not just somebody who was Osir Labal, then basically what we're saying is it's a universalist thing. It's a Benoach thing. So then Gershin is Gaya Kakotan Shinolad, dummy, wouldn't help you. I think of that subject. So the whole discussion of the Gemara here is, what about, well, let me just mention another thing. So I say, the Gemara, Yibam Asaf Beisam et Aleph, I'm just going to get 2 more minutes to finish up. Achim ben Aim, Me'idim, that's about relatives. Right? That's fine. Gershin is Garg, Kotten Shinolad, past relatives in the present don't work at all. What about looking himself in the mirror, seeing himself in his past? So it's very interesting. Gemara in Yevamos Mem Chesam Beis. The other time the Gemara says Gershin is Gar Kachan Shinolad. There the Gemara has also the Gemara has a machlokas there. What about Meunin HaGerim Shiloshamru Zayin Mitzvah B'nei Noach? Gerim get punished because they weren't good when they were B'nei Noach. It's one day in the Gemara. The other Gemara says, the other day it says Gershin is Gar Kachan Shinolad Dami. So on one hand this is personal. It's not about relationships that are created in the past. It's his personal conduct in the past. When I look in the mirror as a Jew and I see myself as a practicing Ben Noach and my obligations there or not. So here there's a machlokas already. Right? The other one's not subject to machlokas. But it's an interesting machlokas, because it is about it is personal, but it's about my past. Personal past, but it's about my personal past to the extent that I've now shed that and changed. Because I'm no longer a Benoach, I'm a Yisrael. But Yisrael is more than a Benoach. So that's the machlokas about Gershon is Gayer in that Gemara. So Rabbi Kivager says you have to look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin of Ayin Aleph says, what if you have a Benoach who's Mevarech as Hashem, or is Ovid Avodah Zarah, and then he's Mizgayer? What happens? Do you say Ishtani Katala or Ishtani Dina, Ishtani Katala? Is he off the hook for his Geirus or not? So the Gemara there is Mechalek between his conduct as a Ben Noach, which would only be Chayev as a Ben Noach, and he wants to escape that through his Geirus, as opposed to, let's say, he was Baal Eshashish Yisrael, or he was Hagar Harag Yisrael, not Harag Ben Noach. The Gemara makes that distinction. So the point may be, number one, how does that work in with the Gemara in Yevamos? So that's what Rabbi Kivager was referring to. Tosis, there is a mechalek between Dinei Adam and Dinei Shammai, which we might explain exactly the way that we were explaining it, which is, when it comes to Dinei Adam, so again, he's not a newborn babe, he has a past, he's a human being. And his Chiyuvei B'nei Noach were human being Chiyuvim. You have to look at that. As far as the Dinei Shemayim, that's a different story. That's we start saying Ishtani Dina, Ishtani Katala. The Radvaz says in Hilchos Melachim that Ishtani Dina, Ishtani Katala is just another way of saying Gershon is Gaya, Kakot and Shinolad. It's not so clear. The Gemara doesn't ever use the expression there in Sanhedrin of Gershon is Gaya. Although, probably Tosis means that as well. That's probably what Tosis is saying. Dinei Shemayim, Dinei Adam. Right? Or the standards are the same or not. Had you done this as Yisrael, you had been Chayim? So you're chayiv now too. Again, there could be other explanations. You can't escape chiyuvim through geirus. The Meiri says, and other Rishonim, that once it's nigmar adin, you certainly are chayiv, misa, even if the standards are different. That could be because you're a gavra katala already, that's what the Meiri says, or it could be just you can't use geirus as a means of escaping your punishments. At least kodin gmar din, it's a question of the continuity and you still have to be tried. But my point is, the whole Gemara in Sanhedrin, the whole Gemara in Yevamos, Mem Chesam Beis, is all about the impact of the past. It's looking in the mirror and seeing what happened to you previously. And the question is whether or not, you know, both in evaluating and assessing, that's Yibamas Mem Chesom and Beis, Me'unan, Me'unin Gerim Shalosham Rezayim Mitzvah B'nei Noach. And Gemara and Sanhedrin is obviously much more acute in terms of actual onshim. Is there continuity or not? I think that one can argue that that is the question of the universalist versus the Jewish, the past versus the present. So now we come to the other issues. I should add, the Yerushalmi in Kedushin Aleph Aleph says it depends. These Chiyuvei B'nei Noach themselves, are they judged according to Dinei Yisrael? Hasra, Edim? Or is it also like regular other rules of Bnei Noach? Eid Echad, B'li Hasra. Yerushalmi says in Kedushin, it depends. That would determine whether or not the Geirus, you'll say, Ishtani Dina or not. So I think, again, what Yerushalmi has in mind is, are these universalist things? So the past, that past certainly exists. There's no difference between Dinei Yisrael and Dinei Akum. Or are they Jewish things? There's different ways of gauging that. So now we come to our two sugyas. What about Piri Verivya and what about Nachla? Oh. So number one, in Nachla, the Gemara said, well, maybe Nachla is different because there's no Nachla Lagoy. But there is Nachla Lagoy, right? So we discuss, well, maybe it's an exception. It's cloning. It's Karadavua. Or maybe because it's about Bechor. Or maybe Bechor and Pashut and Ben and Bas reflect what's really going on. There's the overlap of the two sugyas. I think what we can now explain is the Gemara is asking, is there continuity or not? Was this a universalist halacha? And does it depend on the physical DNA and the fact that he's his father? Or is halachic nachla totally different? Rabbi Yossi Aglili has this question about Petarechem. Right? Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, the first child born to the woman after her gerus, even if it isn't her first child physically, that's a petarechem l'Yisraelism. We don't pass it that way, but that's Rabbi Yossi Aglili's sheet. Gershon is Gar Kakotin Shinon. Is that a machlokas about this question? Gershon is Gar, she's a new person. She has a new rechem. It may not look that way if you, you know, look under the, you know, take it to the lab. It's the, you know, she gave birth. She didn't, not she, she never gave birth before. So it's a Gershon is Geir issue, or it's a question of Petarechem. You know, to what extent Petarechem is a physical thing, or Petarechem is a Mechayev and Pidgin Aben. Petarechem be Yisrael, like we said on Thursday. So too, the Nachla issue is about that. And that's what the Piri Verivya issue is as well. Meaning, it's fascinating. The Gemara Yevamo says, well, this Piri Verivya the guy too? Our Gerson Becharos is, they don't quote Piri Verivya, they quote Lasheves Yitzara. I think, so again, Tosas discusses it. It means Piri Verivya, but there's no Chiyub. Tosas in Yevamos says, there really isn't a Chiyub Piri Verivya, but since there's Lasheva, so there's no Chiyub Piri Verivya going forward, the distinctions that we talked about before. But I think it also is possible that what the Gemara is struggling with, if it's Piri Verivya, so then the only way is to say that there's no Chiyub Mikan Ol Haba, because of the past, the physical past. But maybe Piri Verivya itself is an exaggerated Lasheves, which is a universalist concept. So then you don't say Gershon is Garga Kotten Shanola Adami. So Gufa, the Gemara uses the expression here, Dafka, in order to accentuate precisely this idea. Okay, I guess we'll stop here. I'm sorry we went a little over time. Okay, so tomorrow we'll start at 10 o'clock. And we'll start with an overview of the Pidgin Aben parts, and the rest of the time will be dedicated to the Pidgin Aben issues.